listening to the Defenestrate Media Network.
It's Roast with J.M. Bell and Tom. Here are your Roastmasters.
I'm recording now.
Well, you are, but that does me no good. Okay. A duck's ass.
Yes.
Batshit.
Like a duck's ass.
Quacks like a duck's ass. And batshit. Yes. No, apeshit bananas.
Apeshit
bananas. Batshit, you know, guava, I think.
Guano.
Well, guava. Batshit is guano, but what do they shit? Now, that's the difference because the shit.
Guacamole.
Are they. Guacamole. Are there Mexican vampire bats I don't know about that eat the avocados? Is that why they're so fucking expensive? I just wonder, because they're very expensive. And it used to be, like, what, even 5 years ago, I could get four for a dollar, sometimes $1.50. Now I'm paying, like, $2.80 for a tiny, insignificant, itty-bitty little avocado. It's nuts, man. Is it bats, or is it just...
Yeah,
or is
it's
just
a thing.
Yuppies.
It's expensive. It's expensive as fuck.
And those fucking millennials and their toast...
Now that's the thing, is that all the oldsters are just going to get down on all the man buns and all the avocado. All
Look,
that shit.
I get that they like avocados. It's fine. I like avocados.
Me too.
The man that's bun, great. I have no earthly understanding of. It's you just look ridiculous. And I know right now that there are two specific listeners to this show that wear man buns, and I love them. They're good people. They're smart. Until it comes to making choices about what they do on the top of their head.
So, if we keep talking like this, we're going to wind up in Afghanistan, like McMaster. So,
all right. Well, that's it. That's intimidating.
That's done because you know that's because what happens. You know, McMaster breaks with Trump. Says Susan Rice did nothing wrong. Next thing you know, he's going to be put in Afghanistan.
You know. I wouldn't mind a little Afghanistan right now. It seems pretty mellow considering my home life. I think that might.
That's where
we get shot at less. I don't know. Okay. So you know what you want to talk about a little bit, and I know what I want to talk about a little bit. So before we do that, let me get a little business out of the way. I want to mention the Patreon. For a couple of reasons. The first being, which I believe I mentioned on the left show.
Jesus, that's loud.
That's
Thank
pretty
you,
loud.
Audience.
On the, they are very enthusiastic today. But I mentioned on the left show, I for those of you listening, hopefully that were trapped by becoming, much like heroin, addicted to this show when I tricked you into listening to it on Monday. Look, this is a good show. And I don't understand why there's a 7-to-1 ratio right now. It doesn't make any sense to me. So,
how's that work? 7-to-1 ratio of what?
Downloads. So for every 7 Left Show downloads, this show gets downloaded once. Now, we're only 15 in for this show, and the Left Show is about to hit its 375th episode. So
wow.
I understand that there is a certain habit. However, this show is just as good, a little different, just as good, and I want people to download it. But one of the things that we're working on right now, not only is an improving of technology, but putting together more online content, both behind the paywall and in front of it, including a couple of video ideas that I've had. I just need to figure out, one, how to do it, and two, how to do it legally. Because from my end, I'm going to do it in the car. But that's all. So we lost a couple of our more generous patrons on Patreon this last week.
Oh, sad face.
I don't know why. I imagine we're in the summer months, and the schedule's a little unpredictable, and things are a little... fuck wacky, but, or, you know, duck butt quacky, but mm-hmm. you know, I was sorry to see him go. It made me very sad. I have not yet put together the exit interview for the Patreon folk. And now I see that I probably should have. So if you are doing it and you want more of something, just let me know. I'm more than happy to help. I'm very responsive.
And likewise, on the Coffee Cast, I have one Patreon. And thank you, whoever you are. I think I know who you are. And I really appreciate the fact that, you know, that they contribute what they do. Everything is appreciated. So if you're a Patreon, whatever you do, whatever you give, thank you. I don't know whether or not I've said that before, but I think you should hear it. Jeff?
I'm touched. I'm just sitting here being touched at how adorable you are.
I know nothing. Nothing.
So, Anthony Scaramucci.
Scaramucci.
I don't know why I'm going first. I just ran out of other shit to say.
Okay. Actually, the thing about Scaramucci is the fact that they did release the audio of that recording. I tagged that last week on my show, but I loved reading that transcript because that was just so good, fellas. I kept going back. I kept going back to all the clips from Goodfellas and realizing, God, I want to see this movie once again. It's got Joe Pesci. It's Robert De Niro. And it just, it's a great, great story with great soundtrack. And, you know, that accent is so hard to hit, even though my dad had it.
Aw.
Dummy.
It's adorable.
You live out there, it's like before, you live out there in the Seattle.
Oh, man. I don't know. This dude, so... This ass clown comes to us via Goldman Sachs.
Mm-hmm.
And he founded Oscar Capital Management in 96. And then he founded Skybridge Capital in 2005.
Yes.
So the dude has money. And you can tell that because wearing a suit as ugly as the ones that he wears, that's expensive. That is not cheap. Right there. But so he's got 10 days. My favorite thing that I saw on the internet this week was from Allure magazine, a ladies magazine. Primarily, you can read it if you want. I'm not, you know, supposing gender here, but Allure magazine put out a tweet that said, you know, retweet this if you've ever had a period that lasted longer than Scaramucci. To which all of the
lady, yes,
habitual menstruators in my house all went, oh, yeah. You want to talk about it? No. I'm not grossed out by it, but I am terrified of the side effects. So the dude's worth a shitload of money. And I'm getting to some good stuff, and I'm going to break this down for a few minutes. But before I get to that, the last thing I read, and I got to find the link to send over to you. But the last thing I read before you called was that he sold his company right before he moved into the White House.
He was supposed to get some regulatory approval.
Right.
That was supposed to be through a panel of people, and a lot of them are in the administration.
Right. And guess what? Because of this, he's going to lose almost $8 million. I love the president. I love him. I'll just, you know, I let him brick in me. It's not gay. It's just he's president. Good golfer, the president.
We spoon.
Right.
So, we spoon hard. Not bigly. That that's wrong.
Spoon bigly. So in the 10 days he was there when he wasn't being misogynistic towards Mike Huckabee's kid or doing his best. Would you say Pesci?
Yeah, Pesci. Who else was in?
Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta is what I was thinking of.
He's more of Ray Liotta to me, but...
Well, that's interesting because Ray Liotta was actually part, had some Sicilian. He said, okay, his character had part Sicilian in him, but he could not be made. He could not be made simply because he was half Irish. And to
Faith of Begara. It's goddamn Italians and all of their blood purity nonsense.
Oh, yeah, Good Christ, we got the IRA.
What are they? Part of the Trump administration.
We got car bombs and shit, you know, like it's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, that's not really good enough for the mob.
The bloody Irish invented the car bomb. Italian bastards. Diego douchebags.
In heaven, half an hour before the devil slips and cracks his wicked little skull on the rectory vestibule.
Wow, you're all leprechaun. I like it. I dig it. Makes me damp, moist. So, anyway, Scaramouche, the mooch.
Fandango. Will you do the Fandango?
Yeah. I'm over that, man. Why would you attach a Scat Queen in any way? That's almost as bad as somebody shit-talking Robert Plant on a political show. So,
that went over.
Yeah, didn't it? I got some hate mail on that. How the fuck did you know like Robert Plant?
Oh, you got to read that later. Oh, you got to tell me that later. Or you got to tell me that later.
No, that was it. How the fuck do you not like Robert Plant, fucko? Fucko.
Fucko.
Yeah. I'm like,
that's a dark thing.
He's a little screechy. That's all. You know, I could listen to four or I could strangle a duck. That's okay. It's just he's got better hair than the duck. So anyway, Scaramouche, back on, stay on target. Before he left, managed to write a comms plan for the White House Communications Department. I am not making this up. I'm reading this off CNN right now. What I wanted to do with you, I haven't read it yet. So I'm going to read choices and bits of it, and then you and I can comment on whether or not he had any good ideas. Priority number one, improve the culture. Now, you may think this sounds a little like ethnic cleansing, but it's not. This is the key to everything. Everything is possible with a good culture. Nothing is possible without it, says the mooch. Meet with media members. Where possible, on their home turf to build bridges and foster better relationships.
Mm-hmm.
White House should leave old grudges behind, but never forget.
Whoa! That's Sicilian.
Yeah. Meet with the White House cabinet comm staff to seek constructive input. Convey that good ideas are welcome regardless of the source. That's good. That's not bad.
Okay.
You know, this should be a little more... I mean, it's all white people, but you should be inclusive of whoever's in the room. Implement a series of professionalizing initiatives immediately. No White House comm staffer goes home without returning all calls, emails, and texts. Okay, that's just douchey. People may not like our answers, but they should be treated professionally and respectfully. Yes, yes. And then he puts in parenthetical, obviously this starts with the new director of communications himself. So we go through a little bit of that, and it's just like, you know, people, he said, reach out and collaborate with the cabinet, with Congress, with the RNC, the surrogates, and validators. That's a new one on me throughout the country.
Is that anything like micro influencers or thought leaders?
Those are people that are paid to go on Fox News and say nice shit about Republicans. That's what a validator is. In liberal speak, when you're a validator, you might as well be an enabler, because we look down on that sort of thing. So priority number two, comms is a customer service operation. POTUS is the number one customer.
And you always say to POTUS,
shut the fuck up, Donnie.
Am I the only one around here who gives a shit about the rules? This isn't bad. Skipping down, the media is an important comms customer.
Mm-hmm.
POTUS can choose to fight with the media, but comms cannot. True. That's good. I mean, that's really actually good.
That's
comms.
Being in communications, Jeff, as we are, what stunned me was the fact that he was a communications director. Everything he did was absolutely opposite the book. Yet there are things in this, as you're reading to me, that make sense.
There's some good stuff on here. Comms should seek to de-escalate tensions with the media. True. Good idea.
That's start number one.
Comms will continue to challenge stories that are unfair, untrue, whatever.
So what? They always do.
Yeah, you hid the bust. We get it. You know? So not everything is untrue because you guys hid the fucking statue head. You know? That doesn't immediately say that you're clear on the Russia stuff, Trumps. Anyway, but they should also express appreciation for good and fair coverage. So Fox News gets, like, you know, participation medals, I guess. Okay, here comes the funny. Comms should establish a constructive complaint box for the media to make complaints.
From where? You're working in the Trump White House. That's the complaint enough.
You're going to need a bigger box.
It's going to need to be the size of a 747. Oh, wait a minute. That's right. That's Air Force One.
Surrogates, validators are important customers. They need to be serviced, supported, and coordinated better. I do believe he's talking about tickling the taint.
Now, let us explain for just a minute. Let us just enter that special chamber.
The taint?
What that exactly means. Tickle the taint. We'll pick up on that later. But Jeff, first, back to you.
Oh, you don't want me to explain that now?
No, I know. We know it tickles the stimulate the perineum, tickle the taint.
Yes.
That kind of thing.
So I'm skipping ahead a little bit. the whole thing, you put it together in an outline and none of it makes any sense. Execution is everything. 3 exclamation points.
You only use exclamation points in times of war and orgasm.
All right. That is a good writing rule, sir. And also an exclamation of talking about Steve Bannon and what he does in his spare time.
Yes.
That deserves its own font that basically is a bunch
of... That's another talk for another time. The self-filleting issue.
Well, I can't. I don't know that I've tried. I'm sure I have. I'm a guy, but...
I haven't, but it just... Look, technically, too many people were on the air saying that is actually an impossibility. It's called a UE, and there are people who do it.
Yeah.
So there's your sex education for roast.
Yeah.
There you go.
So basically, the rest of that particular section is all, look, is this good for the president or bad? I mean, it's some of it's a little silly, but the truth is, this is a good, this so far, while it is poorly written and the grammar is atrocious, it's good until we get to H. And H, I believe, is where the top of Tom's head is going to fly off. Comms. Are you ready, sir?
All right.
Comms should use Kellyanne Conway more. She's... She has consistently been the president's most effective spokesperson, and she provides a direct link to the president's historic election victory.
Wait for it. Stabs.
Number 4. Priority number 4, fill the content void. Okay. Let's see where this goes. To quote Obama director of comms, Dan Pfeiffer, which is a name I love seeing spelled because it's so ridiculous.
Pfeiffer! You mean the name Pfeiffer?
P-F-I-E-F-F-E-R.
Like Michelle Pfeiffer.
Right. So anyway, priority 4A, quoting Obama's direct communications as follows. There is an insatiable appetite for content, and traditional news outlets don't have the resources to produce the amount of content the internet requires on a 24/7 basis. Yep. Basically, in this one, he goes on to say, hey, guys, we really need to be blogging more, which is good because that keeps the site fresh and keeps it on top search returns. Mm-hmm. They need to start making short video vignettes. Right. They need to target and identify a broader network of surrogates and validators. This is all good so far. The POTUS should regularly provide op-ed pieces to major publications. I don't know who's going to write them. I assume it's not Scaramouche, though I have to imagine his would at least read at a sixth grade level versus Trump's third. People are fascinated by the lives of their presidents and the operation of the White House. POTUS is the greatest TV star in history.
Just ask him.
Yeah, comms should produce video content that constructively operates as the President Donald J. Trump show. Obama scratched the surface of this. POTUS should take it to the next level. Oh, here we go. Rather than traditional press conferences, POTUS should take questions from real citizens via Facebook. I want to see that. That right there, first really bad idea. And I'm including Kellyanne Conway in the list of bad ideas.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Anyway, we go through and we talk about new fireside chats, Sarah or Kellyanne.
And he's in a smoking jacket. You know, he's got a dog by his. Actually, it's a stuffed dog because no animal will be next to him. So it's going off and he's just like, he's probably has a pipe and an eye patch. Let me tell you something. I'm sitting on a golden throne. Back to you, Jeff.
Yeah. Basically, past that is it's like, hey, tie the message back to shit that's being done. Mostly jobs. You know? Take a change from it's the economy, stupid, to it's the Trump economy. You know, and there's so many different ways to go with that. Like, Kai Ryssdal over on the NPR is without a doubt probably the nicest person in media whatsoever. And nationally. We got a guy here named Doug Fabrizio. I call Doug the Hug. He's amazing. And just listening to him talk just feels like you're being calmed, like you're a spooked puppy on the 4th of July. And someone's just making you feel... That's Doug. That's Doug Fabrizio. But, yeah, tie in the message back to your message. Duh. Fucking idiots. I don't know what's going on in there, and I don't know what happens with Huckabee's kid, and I don't know what happened with Sean Spicer. All I know is those assholes came in with a chip on their shoulder. And I listened to Huckabee... What the fuck is her name? Sanders.
Huckabee Sanders. Who's just pretty much has the same ethics or beat that her dad does, which he thinks he's a comedian, and he's not.
Right. But, you know, you start asking questions about the guy who won the electoral election... Stop turning it to the person who did not. I understand that Hillary Clinton got 3-point-something more million more votes than you, Cheeto. I get it. But guess what? You got the fucking job. How about you do the job and stop wondering whether or not Bill Clinton gets paid to go on speeches? Because you'll
down
notice,
inside, Jeff, he is deeply, deeply insecure.
Yeah.
The simple fact is that he himself acknowledges that he himself is illegitimate. And everybody else, including his staff and everybody around him who's stopped listening to him or starting to ignore him, are all on the same page. So to me, what you just talked to me about was a simple paper where you are actually leaning forward. You're actually doing pieces and media pieces pushing outward what they have been doing from day one. And it goes right back to the orange Jabberwocky is Donald Trump is not only deeply, not just deeply disturbed, probably quite in the beginning stages or middle stages, whatever, of dementia. He also is the causation of this vortex of insanity, chaos, that he says that's actually an advantage. That's a feature, not a bug, and they will never get out of it. If you had a more stable personality, even with some flaws, you could still establish a platform and push media out and calm the waters. But no, that's not what is going to happen. It will never happen with them.
Well,
and that is the plan of what you would do with a normal presidency.
Yeah. I don't remember what I was talking about now. No, so...
I just had to say that.
I got two more points that he brought up, and one of them is laughable, and one of them, I believe, makes me think that, one, he's a good student of history, and two, he knew this document was going to get leaked. So number one... He's asking for a group dedicated to serving as a PR department for POTUS and his family members. Comms need to humanize POTUS and burnish his image. For example, POTUS is the best golfer to serve as president. I don't know how.
He's King Mulligan.
How do you? I mean, yeah, he's. There's no fucking way that dude doesn't
there's
cheat.
There's no fucking way. No fucking way.
Perhaps we embrace it with a national online lottery to play a round of golf with him, or a charity auction.
Where he takes all the money.
Uh-huh. POTUS has a funny and irreverent side, which was shared with the electorate during the campaign.
Yeah, especially when he would, like, make fun of, like, handicapped people.
Right. Now, there's no end punctuation there. It just dribbles off, and then a new point starts up. A rapid response group dedicated to handling hot issues, crises, to ensure more effective responses while enabling comms to stay on point and message and conduct normal operations, i.e., which is not the correct.
No, that means for example.
Yeah. But anyway, the Clinton White House Lewinsky model. You know what?
Well, best there is a master, there's point. Master class to be taught from what how they handled that.
Oh yeah, no. This is the best and most legitimate, no pun intended, point made in this entire document. Is that you can have a commander in crisis and he does not have to be joined by his entire goddamn communications department. On the other hand, I'm imagining a few people running around with their hair on fire when they're trying to put together the golf tournament that we have effectively raffled online. Like goddamn octogenarian Rotarians. Like the daughters of the American Revolution. So that's where I want to end. The truth is, I would be interested to see how poorly this plan was put into effect. Because there's no way this shit would work. There's too many good ideas in here. Obviously stolen from other people. I mean, I could see, you got some Lakoff in there. You got some old, what's his name? Southern guy married to the Republican lady.
I just had that conversation the other day.
He's a Southern Voldemort. That's what he is. He's a Southern Voldemort.
That's right,
James Carville. So
that's right.
Avada Kedavra, y'all. Can't you see?
Now, listen to me. Listen up here, okay? I'm married. I have to wake up every single morning. I have the simple face I do because I turn over, I see my wife, I go,
Oh, don't make fun of Mary Madeline.
She's a horrible human being. She worked for the Cheney presidency.
Right. You know what else though? She didn't work for Trump.
That's true.
Yeah. New perspective, sir. Anyway, so I'll end it there with mine. I think we should take a quick break and come back because you get some pretty cool shit to talk about too.
I hope. So, you know, probably go like this.
What?
Folks, Jeff here.
And JC here.
Oh, and Taylor.
I want to talk to you about Patreon. Patreon is how, for the most part, we are paying the bills around here.
Come on, help us pay some bills.
It's important. These shows cost money to both make and distribute, and we don't ask for money very often. And what we're asking for here is you, as a listener, pitching in $5, $10 a month, you know, over the course of the year to help us grow and get bigger. We need it now. More than ever.
But look, you're not just throwing us money. We're going to give you something really unique for your money. Normally, everything you get from us is free. You get a free download of our podcast, The Left Show, the world's greatest podcast, comic book podcast, and of course...
The truck stop visits.
Yeah, the truck stop visits and Geek Therapist. And instead, we're going to give you exclusive content, stuff that we record separately that is then put out for only you to listen to.
Yeah, and I don't have dollar restrictions on that stuff. You pitch in $5 a month, you pitch in $25 a month, that's it. There are goals there if you do throw in a little bit extra. We send you presents as soon as I can find them.
Yeah.
And for those of you that are waiting for presents, I just need to find the boxes. Don't worry about it.
But no, with Geek Therapist, the world's greatest comic book podcast, and of course this, The Left Show, and our exclusive content, you get more as a Patreon member of our family than you do anywhere else. So go to the website for your favorite of the Defend Media families, whether that be theleftshow.com, worldsgreatestpodcast.com, or geektherapist.com. Click on the Patreon button, become a part of the family, and start getting the cool shit nobody else is getting.
You know you want it. You know you do.
Just do it.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Yes, and we're back. However, what I'm going to start off with is I think I'm going to talk a little bit about advertising and marketing.
Sometimes you got to eat people, America. That's how business works. And that's why I'm successful.
So first thing I want to do is I want to detour down the alley of what you saw yesterday.
Oh, we're back to tickling the taint.
Yeah, back to tickling the taint. And specifically, I'm talking about Stephen Miller. Pretty much, who is the Jonathan Banks of the White House? Yes, he is the character that you see in Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad. However, what was interesting was they dragged him out of whatever cabinet of Dr. Caligari he was in yesterday, and they unleashed him before the press. We've seen him once or twice before. He's one of these extreme racist white supremacists who lives and works in the White House, and his whole shtick is to attack. He has a history, however, and there are people who went to school with him, and this came down. I'm not really sure when this was posted, but I love this. And if you remember seeing this back and forth with Miller and Jim Acosta yesterday, the most ridiculous back and forth, this went like this. One, this is one of his schoolmates from grade school and high school. At a school with 4,300 students, Stephen Miller was hands down the most unliked person on campus. Whenever I was feeling unpopular or nerdy, I would just think, at least I'm not Stephen Miller. I would immediately feel better. Two, he developed way too fast. It's why he looks 50 years old today, but he's only 31. He had a full Adam's apple by the time he was 12 years old and a receding hairline as a sophomore in high school. Any hair on his head today is either a transplant or a wig, and that may be because he's such a trusted advisor to the presidents. Three, he is an unabashed racist. Now, I'm not being oversensitive, and no, I'm not using the R word where it doesn't apply. In private conversations, when he was constantly making disparaging remarks about the African-American, Latino, and Asian students at our school. Four, he thrives on people not liking him. At a certain point in his life, he realized he would just be an insignificant little shit unless he was able to piss people off. While giving a speech on why he should be the school's president, he was booed off the stage by 4,300 people when he said, "Why do we have to clean up after ourselves when we pay janitors to do that?" Oh. I saw him later that day, and he talked about how well he thought his speech had gone. Also, his dad was a slumlord that owned apartments in the valley and didn't take care of them. So he's really an awful human being that can't feel unless people are mad at him. And let's put it this way. He probably is resentful he didn't get laid in high school and since. Jeff. But there's one more piece.
Okay.
One more piece. Since. And So this is kind of like a melange, a kind of like a shepherd's pie of things, so to speak. And
wait, are you about to ruin shepherd's pie for me? Because that we're going to have issues.
I got raised on shepherd's pie. It was like when mom and dad didn't have anything to do or anything to make. It was like, well, whip up the shepherd's pie. All I'm saying is this is a melange, a kind of a mix, a toss-up. How do you handle assholes? I think we're all collectively
consent burned out
and fried over the last year and a half of fuckery that we've been dealing with things. But once upon a time, Donald Trump did start a regional shuttle airline. I believe it was probably between Boston, New York, DC, Baltimore, Philly. I don't know. Who cares? He had a number of agencies. He put forth the fake proposition that it was a legitimate thing and that he was going to get real advertising agencies to come in and do his advertising. Now, you know what his work is. You know what his work looks like.
Okay.
So this comes from Steve Goldman. He worked at an agency that was called Shiat Day. And Shiat Day is the agency that did the Apple 1984. It's also legendary for a number of other ads and stuff like that. And this is called How Jay Shiat Handled Donald Trump. When Jay Shiat was changing the rules of the ad business and building from scratch one of the greatest creative agencies ever. And remember, you to know an individual like this, he had a natural ability to recognize talent and push people well beyond their limits. Most people don't know how he generated such extraordinary loyalty and dedication, which, of course, became Shiat Day and Night. So here's a story of Jay's dealing with Donald Trump and its major impact on the agency. So when the orange screeching Jabberwocky introduced Trump Airlines, he wanted the greatest agency. So he chose Shiat Day. Shiat produced some brilliant advertising for the Trump shuttle. But evidently, the ads were not to Trump's taste. Of course, you know, he lives in his hotel room or apartment in New York, and it looks like Saddam's castle. So if you know what that looks like, you know what his taste
looks like. I've seen the pictures. They're gaudy and awful.
Just awful. Just typical despot stuff. So evidently ads not to Trump's taste, who sent Jay a very nasty and threatening letter about the work and the agency, nicely typed on beautiful golden laden stationery, but in uniquely Jay fashion. Jay replied with a handwritten note attached to Donald's original letter that simply said, "Donald, I thought you should know that some lunatic has stolen your stationery." Jay. And of course, Shiat Day was summarily fired. So why is this an example of leadership? Because Jay had a vision much bigger than keeping any one client happy. He wasn't going to let some bully push him around. But even more important, it was a message from Jay to the Shiat team, who toiled day and night to live up to the agency's mission, that he wouldn't compromise. Good enough is not enough. That's what the T-shirt said. So his principles of advertising and that kind of leadership, it bred decades of loyalists to this day. And he was the definition of that type of charismatic entrepreneurial person. By the way, not only working and creating stuff that would disrupt the ad space, but in the end, just to let everybody know, the Trump shuttle failed and was a complete disaster.
Yes.
So you must know. You can deal with assholes. You could deal with them direct. But the great, you have to understand that, yeah, you're going to lose that business. You're going to lose that money, but you don't need that trouble.
Now, I just want to deflect a little. Just a little.
This is the show. We can do anything we want to.
And that's, you know, there's a pretty good chance that at that point in his life, said lunatic note writer already had enough money to walk.
Yes.
In this day and age, with who we are and what we are and what we know,
what little this, we have
to me, oh, definitely what little we have. This is the trigger to go find the new thing. If I own an agency and had the wiggle room, of course, you know. But if you're a little tight, what I am not advocating, and do not believe Tom is as well, is that you run off before you nail something else down. Because when you hear about the 179,000 jobs that are opening up in America last month, yeah, they're all part-time retail, and you can't make a living there. So, you know, stand up for yourself. Be true to your values. Be who you are, and be honest to yourself. On the other hand, remember, food and shit costs money. So use that as a trigger to make the change. When you got something else backed up, because I, sir, now I say this from experience, have a few times in my life not taken the advice that I just gave because I had not yet learned that lesson and would fuck you and out the door I go. And I got to tell you, my power company, the city utilities, they do not appreciate, nor do they accept as payment, you know, my sense of self-worth and pride. They don't. It's nuts. They should. But what are you going to do? So anyway, no, it's good, man. I like that. I'd like to work for somebody like that.
I worked for a shop that bought itself from Sade. It was the Seattle operation of Sade. And the guy that ran it, the guy that ran it had an ego as big and wanted it to be as big as Jay's.
Sure.
He wanted, I mean, believe me, we had great clients. We did. We worked really, really hard. There was a point in his life where everything hit a wall. And beyond that, things declined rapidly.
Yeah.
I would say that he wanted to be so much like Jay. He even married one of Jay's ex-wives.
Nice play. Nice play.
That didn't work. Now, the man is gone. The man is dead now. But he gave me my chance. He believed in me. And even though the rest of the place was a den, a pit of fuckery, I had my creative director who believed in me. I had the guy at the top who believed in me. And that's, I worked my nice ass off for them. I worked and I learned and I became better because of them. I never will probably set foot in an agency like that, but I appreciate it because I know things get done, and that makes the difference.
Yeah,
they really know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So that's and you're listening to two ad guys.
Oh, just in case anybody was wondering, I would welcome the chance to work at any agency at this point. So
hire JM anytime. By the way, not only an excellent creative, but an excellent creative director and writer with some graphics skills. So if you're out there,
I have exceptional graphics skills. Business, thank you very much.
Please hire him. Please. He is excellent. He certainly is so much more skilled, has better people skills than I do, so much better than me. So please hire him.
And Tom. Tom's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's busy as shit now, so I don't know.
I'm shit now. Yeah, I got told, I don't know whether I'm going to talk about this.
No, like, you're busy. I said you're busy as shit, not that you're shit. You're busy as shit.
I'm busy. But the thing is I got told, okay. I can't take a certain level of work because apparently I display a lack of confidence.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. That doesn't make sense.
I just, like, they expect more out of me. I have a lack of confidence.
You've never struck me as such. What kind of work is it? What is it?
Well,
can you say?
Okay.
So, you know what? Let's come back and do this in lessons learned.
Let's come back and do this in lessons learned. Let's definitely do that.
Please clap.
Please clap. There are 10 jillion podcasts in this crazy world, but there is only one that serves a fresh pot of, hi, how do you do? I'm Tom, your host of the Coffee Cast. My mission is to make it as compelling a listen as you'll find it. I'll talk about all kinds of subjects. Sometimes I'll have guests. Good stories, because people listen to what interests them. And sometimes it's the Coffee Cast. So if you're listening as you're texting the seventh draft of a resignation message to the soon-to-be former psychopathic boss, gift shopping rotary phones for your great-great aunt, or skydiving for the first time without a parachute, whoops, welcome to the Coffee Cast. Remember, you can download a fresh Coffee Cast podcast anytime at Stitcher and iTunes, and now on demand on the Progressive Voices app and progressivevoices.com. So until the next podcast brew, I'll do my best to keep it fresh. The Coffee Cast podcast.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
So here's what it is.
Yeah.
It's one of those big box retailers that I've done a couple of campaigns for in the past.
Target, Best Buy, Walmart.
It's not Amazon, and it's not Target, and it's not Best Buy. No, it's, but, you know, it's stuff that has kept, you know, the doors open, you know, for some time. It's not an excellent work, but the point is that the type of work that it is something that is kind of a lot more retail, a little bit different than what I'm already doing. And I think that maybe it's not so much the lack of confidence, there's the lack of my belief in what you do.
Ooh.
And quite frankly, that is a stretch because you're actually at the limits. I'm learning the limits of what I can do. You must understand the strengths of what you do. Okay. And the thing that I do is that I persuade people. That's the stuff I do. I'm like a munitions packer. I pack the most powerful explosives in a piece so that when it detonates, it goes off. It moves your hand 1 inch to the left. You're in the store. You see two brands of milk. Your hand goes to the left because you remember that brand. That's the reason why. Okay. Maybe it's the only thing that I do, and that's the only thing that I do really, really well. Okay, fine. Even then, maybe that's questionable. But when I'm asked to do other stuff, retail stuff, that's not exactly in my wheelhouse because the tools that I'm using that I'm given aren't that great to begin with. And second of all, because maybe it's an entirely different thing, I do honestly, truly want to learn much, much more. But what I'm given at this time, I actually don't believe very much in it. I don't believe very much in it. I don't see the big picture. I don't know how this works. So help me out here. How do we make this work? Work with me. I'm willing to go to the next level as a person on my own dime to learn how to do what you want me to do. So there's the thing.
He's That's willing thing. To learn, and he'll pay for it. Yeah.
Because I don't know whether or not, you know, the people who I'm dealing with are actually going to hear this. Because if they do, they'll know who they are.
So but, you listen here, Jeff Bezos. Don't be such a dick, and then Tom will want to work more or it's something.
That work culture. That freaking Amazon work culture. Jesus, they're killing people.
Dude, I'm with you. The fact that they don't have nets surrounding the second story windows yet, like they do.
Oh my God. Oh my God. The stories we could tell.
Yeah.
In this business, this fucking crazy business.
It's nuts, man.
It's nuts.
And it, you know, I've been doing this a long time. You've been doing it a little bit longer. And my problem, I think, was that I grew up in sort of in an agency where the boss was level-headed. Even though I was his kid, he didn't cut me any breaks, but he was never explosive. He never freaked out or anything. He just explained what he wanted. And as I've complained several times about my father, is he taught me how to trust my creative instinct.
Yes,
yeah. But he never taught me the business side of the goddamn business.
That's true.
So that's why I'm constantly always looking for somebody. If I could find somebody that could work as a business manager, that could just, you know what? I spend all the time looking for the jobs so that I don't have time to do the jobs. And that's where I can't find that balance. And I know that it exists. That's one of the reasons I want to go back to school is to find that. But excuse me, you know, I just need somebody to shag clients for me. No, I don't mean that like that. I'm not British, but yeah, I could do it. I've got the instincts. My shit works. I know that. I've done it for too many years to not know how effective I can be. What I end up at is exhausted from trying to find the clients in the first place. And then I end up, you know, feeling rushed, and I'm not as proud of my work sometimes as I used to be. But then again, you know what? I ran a campaign to primary this year and won with 83%. So, I still got it. I wanted to.
I just finished up a primary campaign yesterday where the client advanced to the general in November. So that's not bad. I'm happy. I'm proud for them.
That's the gig, man.
Seattle. It's the gig. That is moving people's hands 1 inch to the left.
Yeah.
See, you got candidate A, candidate B. You move over there. See, the thing is that we've been doing this for such a long time. The thing that I've learned after getting knocked on my ass several times is to learn to never accept the conditions you're in, to be hungry, to never expect that tomorrow is going to be the very same, because roads end, businesses end. I've always looked over my shoulders. I started up in this business working for people who were pretty goddamn unscrupulous.
Oh, yeah.
And tried to split town, bitten and not paying their taxes, and getting hammered legally and with the feds and in serious trouble. I could walk away because I was a worker. As soon as I learned, I would just like walk away and have nothing to do with it. But ever since then, it's taught me lessons, low overhead, never take anything for granted, and be fucking hungry.
Yeah.
Be very hungry. I never won the really super duper 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 trophies and shit. I'm glad I haven't, because maybe I'd have a bad attitude. I got a bad attitude enough as it is. I really would like to have.
Hey, I've won trophies.
I like them.
I'm in a goddamn frame of mind. Thank you very much.
They're in a box in the basement. Okay, they're on the resume. Nobody gives a fuck. What can I do for you today?
Yeah, I gotta be honest. I have no idea where my Clios are. But then again, I won them when I was.
Oh, you dropped a Clio.
Oh, you dropped. I have three of them, sir.
You got three?
Yeah. And no shit.
Anything for that.
I won them in the late 80s and have not won another thing since, because I went into politics and we don't do rewards here.
No. There are advertising awards for campaigns, though.
Not these penny pinching chuckle heads that I work with, man. I don't have. The one time I had the budget to do it, I ended up with an ad agency stapled to my hip that I couldn't do anything with. That was old friendships, and I could not do media wise what I wanted. So I just made the best of a bad situation, which basically just pissed everybody off. That's what I'm gonna. So let me throw this out. And I've mentioned this in a couple of other places, especially online. But as we record this, so last night as I drop it for the first time, or whoever the fuck knows when you guys do it. But
I'm gonna try and do it tomorrow.
I know I will. Mine will drop in the morning. But the last episode of At Midnight is tonight. And that makes me sad. Because it's a show that I really, really enjoy. And one of the reasons I enjoy it is because they work so hard to avoid bogging down in politics that when they do hit it, they hit it really funny. And I got to admit, I'm depressed about it. Now, I'm going through some shit right now, and I find myself, you know, feeling emotion more than I'm used to. But Jim Jefferies has a show. It's on every Tuesday night on Comedy Central. It's a weekly. And there are people that, one, he's Australian, and he's got a thick accent. And two, if you've ever seen his stand-up, you know that he can be wildly inappropriate, which is the reason that I love him. And I know that he's been a lefty. You know, I know that he's on that side. And anybody that's heard him talk about gun control in America and how fucked up it is, you know he is too. But he's been hitting him out of the park. He's got 9 episodes down. They signed him for a test out for 10. He's got 10. They just re-signed him for 10 more, which is awesome. I guess they feel a little bit in the ass from a couple other things they've tried. I can't believe they're canceling At Midnight because it seems to be doing well. Everybody's talking about it. And I don't think they ever gave Larry Wilmore the proper shot set up or show. Because that dude's funny.
They never gave him the horses for that.
Right. But Jefferies is just once a week. So it's a lot cheaper to make. He's got Brad Pitt on his show almost every week. Because Brad Pitt and him are mates, and Brad Pitt asked if he could be on it. I'm not, for anybody that hasn't seen it yet, you can catch the first 4 or 5 on Comedy Central. But he did a thing, just to go back to touch on last week, is last week he touched on the anti-transgender sentiment coming out of the White House. And I wept like a little kid whose Halloween candy got stolen. And it's funny. And it was funny, and it was I know perfectly well, you know, I can count just without even working at it, at least 20 people in my life that would be absolutely positively triggered by some of the jokes that he made. And yet it was touching and it was sweet and it just broke me, which was weird because I'm not used to that happening outside of, you know, war movies and John Wayne shit. So if you are lamenting, even to the point of, say, you still miss Jon Stewart, because I do, even though I still watch Trevor Noah. I like the guy. I think he's very funny. Mm-hmm. And say that Last Week Tonight with John Oliver is not enough for you. Go over to Comedy Central and look up Jim Jefferies. This stuff is good. It's really good. And the first episode, which is, they're always a little crunchy and a little bit odd. The awkward on this was dialed way down. He's really got a good flow, and by the time we got to this last week's episode, he's got it. And honestly, they really ought to be doing this as many weeks out of the year as they possibly can. So Comedy Central, don't pull a sci-fi and fuck it up. And for those of you that aren't, go to Comedy Central's webpage and watch it. And by that, I mean go to their webpage and watch it so they can count the traffic, will you? That's important these days. But that's what I learned.
And what I learned, hopefully this will loop properly.
It's nothing.
There are good things that end.
It's nothing at all.
It's nothing at all. There will be other things. There will be good things. Now, you have to remember, because when the Chevy Chase show went off the air, you grieved a little bit, but you knew that you'd see Chevy again.
I know you're being sarcastic, but I just need to state for the record that, no, one, I did not grieve, and two, when he left Community, I loved it even more.
Cheered, fucking, because he's just worthless. Nevertheless,
let me put another pin in. So I was watching last night before bed the seminal classic 1983's powerhouse Oscar contender
Roadhouse.
Oh God, no. God, I love that movie. But that, sir, was not until Roadhouse. 87. No, Follow That Bird. And Chevy Chase.
Wow.
Yeah, Chevy Chase popped up just as an offside as a newscaster thing, and it really put me off my oats, as they say. I was just like, oh well, all right, like whatever enjoyment I was getting out of the Sesame Street film has now been tarnished and tainted a bit. Yeah, you didn't see that coming, did you?
Elmo and Grouchland was our first kids Muppet movie.
Elmo's now, of course, Muppet.
My siblings all, you know, watched the Muppet movies of the 70s and stuff, but then we renewed it again. Elmo and Grouchland, of course, you can't forget that. You just
I haven't seen it.
Oh, really?
But
I imagine
he was out of his element there a little bit.
Mandy was great. He played a selfish guy.
No, Elmo. You
know, about me, and he
Elmo,
would sing.
Elmo in Grouchland. I can't.
It's great.
Yeah, I don't know who else you're talking about, but I'm worried about Elmo in this situation.
Well, in that situation, we all know what happens. You know, we don't ever have to go there. Hey, wait a minute. We're talking about the Muppets again.
Elmo, they're not on the clubs.
There are times that I would get so like exhausted. I remember when the kids were really young, and then for some reason we wouldn't watch. Like, God, is it Baby? Is it God? Baby Geniuses? Baby Einstein?
Yeah, Baby Einstein.
Yeah, everybody knows the Baby Einstein video, but there was this show on Disney that had. It was mostly music and kids interacting with music. It was a cartoon. And I would just like, it would just be so beautiful. I would just bawl. I'd lose it. Terribly so.
I'm going to need you to find a name for that, sir.
Gosh darn it. I will definitely, because I would just watch it and I was just like, oh God, I'm going to lose it. Here's the thing. For me, sometimes we've just got to bite down hard and get through it, and we'll get through this. We'll get through this craziness. There are ways we can actually walk away from disasters, like Jay Shiat and Shiat Day did. Okay.
Yeah, beautifully, wonderfully.
He's not alive now. He's not alive now, and we're in a totally different place. And the orange Jabberwocky has become king monster. We'll get through it. So that's my takeaway.
Ann Wilson lost 50 pounds and looks 20 years older. That's really? My takeaway.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Ann's
the brunette.
Ann was actually, okay, the girls pretty much were our objects of affection in the late 70s.
Well, for me, it was the early 80s when I got the bad heart. You came up with the good heart. I didn't get to that until later.
Bad heart at 80. Like 80 and past.
Yeah.
You know, Roger Fisher left, you know, and then
dude,
they got.
My first fucking Moody Blues album was not until, what, 83, 84?
Wow.
Yeah.
They
so.
65.
I
were
know.
Like. Yeah.
No, I got that. Oh, Christ.
I know what you're talking about. Wildest I know
Dream.
What album you're talking about.
Wildest Dream. It was when the Dead put out the Skeletons album.
Right.
John Cougar Mellencamp, though, I got the Coug.
Okay,
you know, got Small Town, got all that. That was good stuff.
Blood on the
Scarecrow, Blood on the Plow.
Oh my God!
But yeah, my first hit with Heart was that nonsense when they were basically it was before Spanx had been invented, so they were wearing very tight corsets,
and they would compress the frame. They would take the frame and they would actually literally compress it because they were so flipped out. Whatever the producers or whatever, whoever was in charge.
Went from 4-3 to 3-3.
It was devastating.
Well.
It was awful. And just she had issues, and it was a serious thing that she had to deal with.
Sir,
and
it was,
give them all the credit in the world for having to cope with that. That is
well, now we've very, both very been painful. Misogynistic this week, so. You made
Were
fun
we
of Mary
Madeline. This week?
I made fun of Ann Wilson, but it's white skin, sir, in linen. There's perfume on her wrist. And hey.
It's a dreamboat,
in
Annie.
In the mist. Oh. This is like the Gong Show. The cane has come out to pull me off the stage.
Or else I could just play this later.
No, you're good. I think
right.
We set up to babble there toward the end.
It's beautiful.
It is, sir.
All right. Until next time, Jeff.
Thank you, sir. Okay, ready? Go. Do the spontaneous thing.
Mm. And now, we're here with J.M. Bell.
Was that spontaneous? How do you do a spontaneous jazz band?
Hang on. You're not behaving.